This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone. We continue in Daf Hashva Masechta Yevamos, Daf Peites, Amen Beis. The Gemara discussed a Mishnah. The Mishnah was in Trumais, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. Someone who takes off Truma from Tamei onto Tahar. So if you did it b'shoigeg, it's a good Truma. If you did it b'mezid, layasav layklum. And the Gemara brought a machlekes. What does it mean, layasav layklum? Reb Chisda says, nothing. It was completely ineffective. Your Truma is completely ineffective. However, the opinion of Reb Nosson and Reb Oishia is, you did nothing to be misaking the Tahar Truma. However, the Truma that you took off is still effective. So now the Gemara, yesterday we discussed the opinion of Rav Chisda, that lo yasav lo klum at all. And today we're going to explain the opinion of Rav Nosson, Rav Oishia, that lo yasav lo klum l'sakein shirayim, but l'maisa, the Truma that you took off is effective, is chal. Oh, says Gemara, we're two lines in the bottom, pay tesam at Aleph. According to Nas and Rabbi Ishiya, that you didn't do anything, that's only the sakin shirayim, to be misakin the remnant, to be misakin the tahar produce. Avo truma have, but the truma is effective. But maishname hadetnan, why is this different from that which we learned in the Mishnah? Min hanokov al she'en nokov. Yesterday we learned the case of someone who took off Truma from Enoi Nakov onto Nakov, from Durabanan onto Dairaisa. Now we're going to talk about a case for someone who took off Truma from Nakov onto Enoi Nakov, meaning there's a hole in it. You took off Truma from Dairaisa for the Durabanan. So the halach is Truma Soi Truma, it's a good Truma, but Veloi Toichal, the koyein cannot eat it at sheyotzi ala truma o maser memakam acher, until you take off truma and maser from a different place. So when you take off from tamei onto tahar, the halacha is a truma is good. And in this case, it's not really good. What does that mean? You're giving the koyein truma. The truma came from otzutz nakov, but you took it off for the truma, for the produce, which was enoi nakov. So this kayin, even though you're going to give it to the kayin, and it's going to be truma, in other words, you have to give it to the kayin, but the kayin cannot eat it until you're mafresh a saw of truma mimakoim acher. What does that mean? From a different place. Because we consider it absolute tevel. So basically, we're saying that you have to give it to the Kohen. However, it's not really effective truma, but you have to be misakin that which you give to the Kohen, because what you give to him is in reality truma. Now, the Tosfos quotes the Rivan, that it's only truma regarding that you have to give it to the Kohen and not for anything else. It's not Osur Lazarim. And Tosfos says, no, the reed does not, or would not agree with that, because if it patters the Ein Nakov, which is Chayiv and Truma Medrabanan, so it should be Truma Medrabanan. So basically, it's interesting, we have a Machloikis Rishonim here. You're giving it to the Kohen, and the item you're giving to the Kohen is not full-fledged Truma, in that you have to be misaking that. It's considered Tevel vis-a-vis the Kohen who you gave it to, and you have to be misaking it. But now the question is, were you successful in pottering the Truma, which is only Chayv and Midrabanon, namely the Otzutz She'enoi Nakov? So the Ri says, yes, it does potter the Enoi Nakov. So then, in that case, it should be Truma Medrabanan. And the Rivan says, it's not Truma to Pater the Otzah Shein Anakov. But the bottom line is, what you gave the Kohen needs to be Niskan. So the Stira is, But why does Rav Nosson Rabbi Yishia say that when you take off from Tamei to Tahar, it's a valid truma, it's just you have to... It's not matter the shirayim, it's lo yosav lo klum lasakin es hashirayim, but it's a valid truma. And here we're saying it's not even a valid truma. You have to be masakin that item. So Gemara says shani hacha. Here it's different. Midai raisa truma ma'al yasa here, because the truth is, here it's different. What's here? Here when you take off tamei onto tahar, it's different because it's a good truma midai raisa. Kedrabi loy. Like Rabbi Loi said, Amar Rabbi Loi, minayin letoyer min hara alayof. How do you know if you take off from inferior for the sake of something superior? Shetruma, say truma. How do I know the truma is a good truma? Dechsiv, like the pasuk says, veloi sisu ale alav chet, baharim chem eschel boi mimenu. Do not bear a sin when you raise up the fat from it. So it says, do not bear a sin, v'loy sisu alav chet, baharimcham eschel bay mimenu. So, the Gemara darshins, clearly though, that if you take off inferior for the superior, it is a good truma. And it's saying, because it's a good truma, therefore, you bearing a sin for having taken off truma from inferior to superior. But if the imein kadosh, if it's not holy, if it's not truma, then why would you bear a sin? You didn't do anything wrong. Nothing you did was effective. Your actions were meaningless. The imein kadosh, and if it wasn't holy, nesias chet lama. What bearing of sin will there be? In other words, Rabbi Loi darshins, don't bear sin when you raise up. Don't bear sin when you raise up the good, the chelbay, the fat from it. Meaning, don't take off from something which is raw onto the yafet. And if you do, you're going to bear sin. So clearly, your actions are effective, because if they wouldn't be effective, then you would not be doing anything wrong. V'emein kadosh nesias chet lama. Mikan letoyra min ara alayafet shetruma sechuma. From here we see that if you take of truma from something that's inferior to something that's superior, the truma is a good truma. Amar le rabba le Reb Chisda. Rabba said to Reb Chisda, ledidach de amrit loy asav loy klum kol ikar. According to you, that you say, okay, so now we're going to analyze Rav Chisda's Shita. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of the Amid. Again, Rav Chisda's Shita is, lo yasa v'lo yklum, that if you bemazed, take off min ha'atame ala tahar, then lo yasa v'lo yklum, you didn't do anything. Even though midai raisa, it's truma, the Rabbanon come along and say, no, your actions are not effective. L'didach ta'am lo'yos lo'ikum kol ikar, which means, afila hu geruya hadar le'tivla, even that item that you were mafresh as truma returns back to being tevel. My time, what's the reason? Why do we say that your actions are ineffective? Gezeiro dilma pasha, it's gezeiro, you might be negligent. V'lo'y mafresh, and you won't be mafresh. In other words, really what you did was midai raisa effective. The only thing is, we don't want, if we tell you that your truma is a good truma, but go ahead and be mafresh again from the tahar, we're afraid you're not going to listen to us. So therefore, what do? We say your actions were ineffective. So basically we have something that midai raisa is truma, and the Rabbanon came along and say, no, it's not truma. Gemara asks me, is there something that midai raisa is truma, and because of gzeira, maybe he'll be negligent, the rabbis gave it a status of chulin? Could the Rabbanon do that? Could the Rabbanon say something which is absolute truma, and if somebody eats it, they're chayiv misa? No, it's not truma anymore. Why? Because we're afraid that if we allow it to be chuma, he's not going to listen to us, and he's not going to be mafresh chuma on the other thing. Is there such a thing? Could Bezdin stipulate to uproot something from the Torah? So this is the big question on Rabbi Chisda. And by the way, the answer to this question is the reason why we got involved in this conversation in the first place. Namely, why are we talking about this Indian of Truma in the context of the Mishnah where a woman gets married al piyed echad? So Rabbi Chisda said back, V'adloy tizbara, you don't hold that way. You don't hold the rabbis have such capacity. But tonight we learned in a Mishnah, Havlad mamzer mizo mizah, that when a woman gets married based on an eid echad, and the guy then walks in, so we say whatever kid she had from the second guy, from the new husband, is a mamzer. Now that's understandable. And whatever children she has from now on, from the first husband, is also a mamzer. So the Gemara says, what? Bishlama Misheni mamzer. I understand the kids she has from the second guy are a mamzer, because whatever children she produced from the second man, she did as a married woman, because the first husband was alive the whole time. Elamirishan, am I? Why would the children she produced from the first guy be a mamzer? Ishtahi, she's his wife. Yisrael ma'al Yehu. The child is a full-fledged Yisrael. And if you're going to say the kid's a mamzer, you're going to matter the mamzer with a mamzeres. That means the Rabbanan are saying that this Yisrael, who's now to marry a mamzeres, we're going to say he's allowed to marry a mamzeres, because Sharina is a mamzeres. So Chizda said back, now hold your horses. When I say that the kid's a mamzer, I meant that the kid can't marry a Yisraelis, but Avada, the kid can't marry a mamzeres either. So Amar Shmuel, Amar Lei Hachi Amar Shmuel, Rav Chisda said, this is what Shmuel said, Asr b'mamzeres. Taka, the woman, Taka, the child, is of the first guy, is Asr b'mamzeres. V'chein ki Asr Rabin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asr b'mamzeres. V'amai kar Lei Mamzer, so regarding what do we call the kid a mamzer? La Yisrael b'bas Yisrael, we call him a mamzer, to Asr him in a bas Yisrael. So basically, the fact that we treat the kid as a mamzer doesn't show the chachamim have the right to be oikar davin menat Torah. It's not like the rabbis are saying that someone who's a full-fledged Yisrael has a status of a mamzer and can marry a mamzeres. We're only calling him a mamzer in that he can't marry a Yisraelis, but not that he can marry a mamzeres. So now we're up the creek without a paddle. How do we know that the Rabbanu could come along and be oikar davar min ha-Torah, namely in this case where it's really a good truma, and we're saying no, it's chulin layosav layklam. Shalach lay Rav Chisda l'Rabba. Rav Chisda sent to Rabba biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, in the hands of Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Ve'ein bezdin ma'asin l'akadom min ha-Torah. Bezdin cannot stipulate to uproot something from the Torah. Vatani, we learned in a brisa, Me'imasai Adam Yoreshas Ishtai Ketana. From when can a person inherit his wife who's a Ketana? So like this, a woman, when she's a Ketana, her father can marry her off. Midai Raisa. But if her father died, then her father cannot, then obviously her father can't marry her off. But if her father died, midaraisa, she cannot get married. However, the Rabbanim were afraid that if she's going to remain by herself, some people might abuse her. And therefore they gave the capacity to the mother and or the older brother to marry her off. And that marriage is a marriage de Rabbanan. Now the question is, when she dies, now since it's a marriage midrabanan, she has the right to uproot the marriage so long as she's a ketana through the process of mion. Now what if she dies before she becomes a gedola? Does that guy inherit her? On the one hand, why not? He was married to her. On the other hand, we could say, well, maybe she would have refused the marriage and retroactively rendered the marriage null and void. So at what point could he inherit her? So it's machlokes b'shamay and beis halach. The Gemara sholach le Rav Chizda le Rabba biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Rav Chizda sent to Rabba in the hands of Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Ve'ein bezdin masdin laka davim na Torah. Bezdin cannot stipulate to uproot something from the Torah. Va'tani, we learned in a brisa. Me'ima say adam yarish esheshtay. When could a person inherit their wife? Katana. Again, this is a woman who one who married midrabanan because the brother or mother married her off. Beishami omer mishatamay bekaymasa. Beishami says you can only inherit her when she becomes a gedayla. When she reaches puberty, and she brings two pubic hairs. We're going to see that means not only do you have to do chuppah, but it also she needs to become a gedayla. When she enters the chuppah. But not before that. Before, according to Beis Hillel, before she becomes a gedayla, in Beis Hillel, before she enters the chuppah, there's a strong possibility she may have nullified the marriage, and therefore the man does not inherit her. But once she reaches the age of puberty, or according to Beis Hillel, once she's nichneses l'chuppah, then we say that you could inherit her. Rebbe Lezer, I remember Misha Tiba. Rebbe Lezer says when he has relations with her. Because at that point of time, we don't assume that she would try to nullify the marriage. At this point, V'yarsha, he could inherit her. U'metamela, he could be metamiter. V'aycheles beginoi truma. And she can eat on his account truma when he lives with her, when she enters the chuppah. According to Beis Hillel, when she enters the chuppah. According to Rebbe Lezer, when she has bia. So now we're going to analyze the shita Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai seems to hold that when she reaches puberty, he inherits her, even though they have not entered the chuppah. Is that possible that from the time of her maturity he inherits her if she dies, even though she's not nichnas l'chuppah? But the halacha is even a ishtoi gedoyla who you're married to midai raisa and she was an arusa. The halacha is if she dies, he's not an oinin, he's not metame to her, he doesn't inherit her. So if even by Kiddushin Dairaisa, before Nesuin, before Chuppah, he doesn't inherit her, then certainly by Kiddushin Midrabanan, says Gemara, Eima Mishatamoid B'Kaimasa V'Tikanes L'Chuppah. What Beis Shammai means is she has to reach puberty and chuppah, but just puberty alone will not do the trick, because we say an arusa, even midairaisa, you don't inherit her. So this has to be in conjunction with chuppah. V'hachi ka'amri le Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. This is what Beis Shammai is saying to Beis Hillel. Di ka'amri, that which you say, mishatikanes le chuppah. That's what you say, that only once she enters the chuppah he inherits her? No, I say you need an additional factor. If she reaches puberty, the chuppah helps. If she doesn't reach puberty, the chuppah will not help. Then the Gemara says, Reb Lezer says he inherits her from the time she has bia. Reb Lezer says the actions of a katana are nothing. Says Gemara, Eima Mishatagdil V'Tibai Katani. Eima Mishatagdil V'Tibai. When Rebbe Lezer says, Mishatibai, it means Mishatagdil V'Tibai. And Beis Hillel is the only opinion, Mishatikanis L'Chapa. The bottom line is, Midoi Raisa, this guy does not inherit her, because her whole marriage was midrabanan. And yet, the rabbis came along and said, well, from the point of time that we know that she won't be Mamayin, he inherits her. Here, Midaraisa, the father inherits her. Umidrabanan Yarasla, Baal. And rabbinically, the Baal inherits her. So how could that be? That means the rabbis are taking money away from the husband's, the father's relatives, and giving it to the husband. Why? Why should the husband inherit her? He was not married Midaraisa. Says the Gemara, very simple. Hefker bezin haya hefker. The way the rabbis took away the money from the husband's relatives and gave it to the relatives. The way the Rabbanan took away the Yerusha from the father's relatives and gave it to the husband is through the process of Hefker Bezen Hefker. Da'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Minayin Shefker Bezen Hay Hefker. How do I know Hefker Bezen Hefker? How do I know when what Bezen renders ownerless is valid? Shenemar, like it says, by Ezra, when Ezra made an enactment, everyone has to get rid of their non-Jewish wives. Kol ha-shalayav ha-shashasayam, anyone doesn't come in 3 days. Ba'atzas har-starim ha-zakenim, by the council of the princes and the elders. Yacharam kol rechushay, all of their possessions will be prohibited. V'hu yivadel mekahal ha-goyla, and he will be separated from the congregation of the exiles. So clearly, Ezra's saying, anyone who doesn't come, I'm taking away all their money. How could Ezra do that? Ezra could just say, whoever doesn't come, I'm taking away their money. Clearly, Bezin has the capacity of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Rebbe Lezer, Amar Meihach, Rebbe Lezer says the source of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker is from here. Eila HaNachalos, these are the inheritances, Asher Nachalu, Elazar, Koyin, the Elazar, the Koyin, bequeathed V'Yehoshua Benun, V'Rashay Ha'avos, and the heads of the families, L'Matos Bnei Yisrael. So the question is, V'chima Inyan Rashim Eitzel Avos, what's the connection between the Chachomim, the leaders, and the fathers? Eloloi Merlechot, to tell you, Ma Avos Manchilim B'Neim, Kom Asher, so just like a father can give over to their children whatever they want, Av Rashim Manchilim Es'am Kom Asher Yitzel. The heads of the people, the Chachamim, could also be manchel to the nation, whatever they want. So we have no raya from here that Bezin could be oikar davar min ha-Torah, because here it's through a different process, it's through Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what the proof is, the fact of metamela, that he's metami to her. V'hachan ha-raisa v'yum metamela. Midai raisa. She's related to the father. The father, meaning the father's relatives, should be able to metamid to her if they're kaihanim. Umidrabana metamila bala, and rabbinically the bala is metamid to her? Mishum dahavila. How could that be? Midai raisa, the bala cannot be metamid to her if he's a kayin. So how could the rabbana just come along and say, okay, even though biblically you can't be metamid to her, we say you can. That means the rabbis are being oikar davar min ha-Torah. Mar says, no, you know why the husband is metame to her? Because she's a meis mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Mishum dehavila meis mitzvah. Mar says, what kind of meis mitzvah is she? Wouldn't anyone bury her? She could call out to anyone. Umi have a meis mitzvah? Isn't a meis mitzvah? Time we learned in Brisa, is it a meis mitzvah? Kol she'im lo'i koirin? Meis mitzvah is someone who has no one to bury them. Koiri! If they call out for help, and other people will respond, ain't that meis mitzvah? Gemara says, no, taka, she's a meis mitzvah. Because hachanami kivin de lo yarsila, since the father's family don't inherit her, kari of lo yanula, she herself could call out on her deathbed, hey, brothers, do me a favor, bury me after I die. And they're not going to. They're not going to answer her. Because since the Rabbanon basically took away their Yerusha, so they say, sorry, we're not going to bury you. Let your husband bury you. And no one else who they call is going to come because they say, what do you want from us? You have brothers. So everyone else will say, the brothers will do it. The brothers will say, the husband does it. So the husband does it, not because Midoi Reis to the Rabbanon were Oiker, but because of the fact that the Rabbanon took away the father's money, so no one else is going to bury her. So she's a meis mitzvah. So it's not called being oikar daven atar, just putting her in a circumstance and no one's going to want to bury her. Memela, she's the reality is she is a meis mitzvah. Okay, we'll pick it up as Hashem next week. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful night. Please join us tomorrow night, 8:30, for Parshas Mishpatim. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.